In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us and happy Friday.
Woohoo!
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I cover tech. And if I were a witch, I'd be Samantha Stevens on Bewitched because I watched that a lot as a kid.
Bold choice. I'm Kelly Lawler. I'm a TV critic. And if I were a witch, I would be Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service because she rides a real broom, has an adorable cat, and the hair bow.
Very good choice. Our co-host Brian Truitt is on vacation and we're resenting him thoroughly right now. But I hope he has fun. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be lovely if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you'll be helping other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a thank you, we'll give you a very special shout out on our next episode. If you don't, we'll cast a spell on you. But just kidding. Try it out, though.
I put a spell on you.
Tell us what you want to see from the show moving forward. It is all gravy for you guys. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at MothershipPod. You can email us to MothershipPod@USATodayCom. This week, things are about to get a little devilish in here. Here's a clip.
In the town of Greendale, where it always feels like Halloween, there lived a girl who was half witch. Half mortal, who, on her 16th birthday, would have to choose between two worlds, the witch world of her family and the human world of her friends.
Happy birthday, sweet 16.
And that girl is me.
Are you willing to forsake the path of light and follow the path of night?
It's very tempting to run. It's very tempting.
You must.
I shall deliver Sabrina.
You're going to die, half-breed.
You turned into the prettiest.
I'm not an evil person. But these are desperate times.
My name is Sabrina Spellman. And I will not sign it away.
That was from the trailer for Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Netflix's new imagining of everybody's favorite teenage witch. The new series stars Mad Men alum Kiernan Shipka as a titular witch, Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings as Aunt Zelda, Lucy Davis, a.k.a. Etta Candy from Wonder Woman as Aunt Hilda. It was created by the creators of Riverdale. The new Sabrina is nothing at all like the TGIF show from the 90s starring Melissa Joan Hart. It was very campy. This is a dark horror drama where we see Satan multiple times. Kelly has seen this season and she loves it. So that's why we're talking about it this week. First off, like big picture of this series, what did you think?
I really liked it. It was so much fun and very well done. You know, I think the casting was on point. The tone is perfect. You know, it's pulpy and like a dark delight, if that makes a lot of sense. There's just... it's campy in a very different way, in a way that, for instance, American Horror Story is campy. And it's just not like something I've really seen before. You know, it sort of takes stereotypes about witches and takes them 100% seriously. So they're evil and they worship Satan. That's exactly what it is. They are Satan worshipers. They praise Satan all the time. You know, they pray to the Dark Lord. And there's like a dark baptism and that kind of thing. And it's Satan is like, you know, exactly how he is pictured traditionally with the goat head and the hooves and everything. And it's terrifying. It's like what if that Satan was real and really scary? And it also has this cool thing where it's sort of timeless. It took me, like, I want to say 5 episodes in before I saw a smartphone. And the style of clothing is very, I would say, like, conservative contemporary. So there's a lot of collars, you know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, basic colors and, like, muted prints, but there's nothing particularly trendy. It's all stuff you could maybe get from, like, a Land's End or a J. Crew kind of thing. And it's not like they're particularly talking about modern pop culture or politics or anything like that. And the cars are kind of all old-timey. So it has this really cool thing where it feels like its own little world. And, you know, all around, I just think they hit it out of the park.
So I'm trying to remember the 90s Sabrina. It felt like some of the other witch shows where it was like, you know, a character was the witch and it was all about them kind of trying to blend in with everybody else. And then something happens, they have to use their, you know, abilities, and then hijinks happens and all this other fun stuff. What exactly is going on with this reboot of Sabrina? Because it sounds very different.
Yeah. So I think that was a perfect description of the 90s Sabrina. You know, it was all very hijinks related. It was still very focused on high school and, you know, if she could land Harvey and the mean girls at high school and, you know, she used her magic to clean up her room, right? This time, sort of the basic outline, we start with Sabrina. She's actually already dating Harvey. And this is such a, this is a side note, but, you know, we've talked in this podcast about how, like, the ideas of, like, the hunky guy are changing as, you know, sort of Gen Z starts to define those things. And this guy is such a, like, such a Timothy Chalamet type, you know, such a Tom Holland type. He's very thin and moody and, you know, he loves to draw. It totally fits. They're very akin to what the kids are looking for these days. But yes, so she's very happy. She's dating Harvey. She's got great best friends. She goes to Baxter High and she's, you know, just about to turn 16 on Halloween, obviously. And when she turns 16, that is when she's supposed to have her dark baptism and join the Church of Night. She lives with her aunts Hilda and Zelda, who are, you know, full-fledged members of Satan worship. And she also lives with her cousin Ambrose, who's under house arrest for various reasons, who's a treat. And she's having doubts about whether she wants to literally give up her life for Satan and sign his book in her blood. She gets powers, but in exchange, she has to basically give up her free will and do whatever Satan says. It's a really interesting thing, all these old stereotypes put literal and given real thought. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's like the first 2 episodes are really absorbed with whether or not she's going to accept her fate because she'll have to leave her mortal friends behind and go to the Academy of Unseen Arts. Her friends include a girl named Roz, who is kind of a feminist firebrand, who is struggling with degenerative eyesight. And then she has another friend named Susie, who is sort of gender nonconforming. She's not particularly out as anything, but she doesn't really fit in and she gets bullied a lot. And then at the same time, a lot of members of the witch community want Sabrina to join, but there are these 3 girls called the Weird Sisters who really, really hate her because she's half witch. Her mom was immortal. And they don't want her to come to the academy. That's kind of where we start. And then very, very, very different kinds of hijinks ensue. Hijinks involving demons and blood and necromancy and all that fun stuff.
So how is Kiernan Shipka in this role? Because she's obviously a kid in Mad Men. And so this is, you know, we're seeing her much older now and in a very different role. You know, what was it like?
Sally Draper is all grown up. I have to admit, especially as a longtime fan of Mad Men and particularly her on Mad Men, it was a little jarring to see her with a boyfriend and kissing and, you know, being presented as like a teenager who's on the precipice of adulthood. In real life, Kiernan Shipka, I think, is 18. So this is her reality as well. But after a while, I stopped thinking about Mad Men and I really got into her in this role. And she definitely gets more comfortable and better as the episodes go on, which I think is partially because Sabrina gets a little more comfortable in herself as the episodes go on as well. So I'm a big fan. She is obviously the perfect look. She looks exactly like Sabrina from the comics with headband and all. And she is, you know, I think one of the only actresses who could have anchored the show.
So Hilda and Zelda, what did you think of their performances?
Oh my God, I loved them. 1,000 dark blessings on Miranda Otto, who, if you guys remember, was Eowyn in Lord of the Rings. She's done a few other things since then. But this is like, in my opinion, the first time there's been another part that is worthy of her. Zelda is a treat. Miranda Otto just stands around in the scenes with a cigarette, chewing scenery all over the place. She is so over the top. Her hair is always in a perfect curl, even when in an episode where they're like sleeping and then waking up. She is always with the perfect dark lip. She is always in kind of 50s-esque clothing, and she is short, and it's so good. I love it so much. It's, again, a very different interpretation of Aunt Hilda and Aunt Zelda. You know, in the original Sabrina, you remember, like, Zelda's kind of the disciplinarian and Hilda's kind of the wacky one. That's the same, except way more. Zelda is a really devout member of the church, which makes her kind of cruel because she is evil. And Hilda is less devoted and softer. And so it's almost like Zelda is the withholding parent and Hilda is the available one. And, you know, Lucy Davis is also great. She's hilarious. Their interplay is so good. They have amazing chemistry. You know, it's more like a married couple than sisters in some ways. It totally works. I am such a fan. That casting is almost even better than Kiernan Shipka's casting.
So you mentioned the Weird Sisters and you mentioned some of Sabrina's friends. Were there any other members of the cast that jumped out to you in terms of their performances?
There is a young actress named Tati Gabriel who plays Prudence, who's the leader of the Weird Sisters and Sabrina's arch nemesis at the Academy. And she is so good. She's a complete discovery. She's been on a few other things, including The 100 after I stopped watching. But she elevates that mean girl stereotype so well and makes something new out of it. And she has this kind of slithery vibe about her. She's very polished and pretty in a witch way. She wears these like old-timey outfits, and it's just so much fun. I also really love Michelle Gomez, who was on Doctor Who as Missy, if you recall. She plays one of Sabrina's teachers, who maybe has a little bit more in the supernatural going on. Don't want to spoil anything, but she is very good at monologues and continues to be very good at monologues.
So it sounds like for the most part, you love this show. Was there anything in particular that turned you off to it?
I mean, I'm going to admit the show has like quite a few problems. The season's a bit uneven and sometimes the plotting and mythology completely starts to confuse you. There's just like threads that drop completely and they don't really pick them back up again. It's also way too dark. Quite literally, this has been a problem with a lot of TV recently, like Mr. Robot, for instance. In its effort to convey the darkness of the subject matter, they just don't light the scenes properly. And you can tell the difference when you look at, say, Buffy or Breaking Bad, which both took place at night a lot, but you could still see what was happening. So that's not great. And I hope maybe that is fixed between my review screeners and what debuts on Netflix and potentially watching it on a real TV instead of my laptop. Take that criticism with a grain of salt. And the other thing I don't love is that the back half gets bogged down in some plots that I just didn't like personally. I will admit I hate any fiction that includes cannibalism, and there is some cannibalism-ness in one episode that really bugged me. It's just a problem. It freaks
I need to
me
start
out. Even when they talk about it, it freaks
I need to
me
start
out.
Using cannibalism-ness more often.
No.
In conversation.
No.
That just sounds hilarious.
I'm literally shaking. So it has some major problems that would completely derail other shows. But it's so much fun, especially it starts off so well that I didn't really mind. It is trying to accomplish a very specific tone and vibe. And it does that so well that when other things get mucked up, it really just recovers by being a bit ridiculous. And I liked that a lot.
So, you know, Netflix is usually pretty, they tend to hold like the numbers and the audience kind of metrics close to their vest. Sometimes it's really difficult to pinpoint how well a show will do, but how do you think Sabrina will do on Netflix?
You know, I think it's going to do really well. I think it'll get the kind of, if not controversy, but like sensation that like say a 13 Reasons Why did. It actually was originally intended as a Riverdale spinoff for the CW, but Netflix bought it, which I think is partially because Riverdale does gangbusters for Netflix, especially internationally. And it feels so appropriate for Netflix. One thing I really like about it is that even though it's clearly written with the intention of being binge watched, it doesn't forget what an episode is. It's not exactly a monster of the week setup, but there are definitive sort of adventures and plots per episode. and some overarching season-long things as well. That is smart and good, and I think makes all Netflix shows better and more easily consumed by a broader audience. And it seems so teen. It seems so teen in the way that Riverdale does. Even though it doesn't really rely on like the technology of teens very much, it understands how they talk and what issues matter to them. It does talk a lot about intersectionality and feminism, which is something that I've seen is a topic that Gen Z kids discuss a lot. And it's got that darkness that Riverdale has, that sort of cliffhanger on the edge of your seat. There's murder and there's life and death stakes. And so I really think it'll do well. I think also that adults will really appreciate it, perhaps a little more than they appreciate Riverdale. I'm betting on this being a big thing. I also think there might be some protests against it because of how literally it praises Satan, even though he's also kind of a villain. But many groups had trouble with things like Harry Potter and protested it just because it included supernatural arts, even though it didn't directly reference Satan. And this references Satan all the time. Pun intended. So that kind of controversy honestly might up viewership if that happens. I think it's totally going to happen.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if Satan's such a key part of this series, it's a matter of time. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, you know, normally on this pod, we talk a lot about reboots and revivals, and there's 50 other terms and categories for all this kind of stuff. And for the most part, most of the reboots we kind of don't like. In this case, it seems like you definitely like this Sabrina reboot. Do you think we really needed another Sabrina? Do you think it was worth it rebooting this?
I really think this sits in harmony with the original. It is so different. And it's so different because it pulled a different aspect out of the comics. There is part of the Archie Sabrina comics that is fun and funny and campy, and that's what the 90s TV show pulled from. But there's another aspect that is dark and horror, and that's what this TV show is pulling from. So it really does feel like something brand new, despite the fact that I've seen a Sabrina and a Hilda and a Zelda and a Harvey before. And that is, first of all, quite an achievement to make something old feel so new. So you can tell that it has really good, thoughtful creatives behind it. But the other thing is that I think especially for people who like the Sabrina comics, who maybe liked but not loved the original, I think this will be very welcome for them. It is a smart way of rebooting something. And I honestly think if there are other pieces of pop culture where adaptations didn't cover everything, then there's something more to be done. You know, I think the Lord of the Rings series that Amazon is doing is a bad idea because there's nothing more there. But I am interested in seeing Netflix create Avatar The Last Airbender in live action because that is something totally different than the animated series. So I think you have to justify it yourself, and this show definitely justifies its own existence.
One thing specific to this is another reboot, revival, sequel, whatever we talked about recently is Charmed.
Yeah.
And I know that you were kind of lukewarm on them bringing Charmed back. Do you feel like Sabrina in this reboot, is there something they're doing differently compared to Charmed and how they've kind of revived that series that you think has pulled you in more to Sabrina?
Yeah, I think Sabrina is more different from its original. I think the new Charmed is different, but not different enough. So it takes its own path, but it still reminds you enough of the original that it's annoying. I also think that the creators were more accomplished at creating their new tone in Sabrina. In Charmed, I totally see what they're trying to do, but the pilot was messy. And I haven't really been able to motivate myself to watch the new episodes because the pilot was really messy. And the casting is better on Sabrina. And I mean, some of that's not fair. The Netflix is able to attract higher quality talent and spend more money on production values. So some of that is really just not fair. But especially from Jenny Snyder-Erman, who's the creator, one of the creators of Charmed, she did Jane the Virgin. Well, she is still doing Jane the Virgin on the CW. And that has amazing casting. And I would say good enough production values. They have a certain amount of CGI because they do all this stuff on the screen. And so I expected so much more from Charmed after loving Jane the Virgin for so many years. To me, it really feels like they weren't trying to make Charmed. They really just wanted to remake Buffy, to be very honest. Oh. Like, they took the mentor character, and instead of making it like a hot, hunky young guy who in the original Charmed became a love interest and eventual husband of one of the witches, they made him this, like, he's still young and cute, but he's like British and snooty and clearly not meant to be attractive to any of the women. You know what I mean? Like, that's a Giles. Like, they just made a Giles. And they're trying to make the demons metaphors for what's going on in the real life, which is something Buffy did very well, but was never really particularly Charm's bag. It was like romance and then on the side, like, demon of the week. Some of it is just like you feel better watching Sabrina than you do Charmed. Also, I think Charmed had a much more cult following, a much more dedicated following than the original Sabrina did, because that was so slight of a TV show. It was part of that TGIF lineup. It was never really meant to be a genre epic the way that Charmed and a lot of other shows that we talk about are.
So it was very much like a family show, really.
Yeah, it was a family comedy, and those kinds of shows don't tend to engender the same kind of fan bases that serialized genre television does.
All right, listeners, it's your turn. We want to hear from you. What did you think about the new Sabrina? Do you miss the 90s era Melissa Joan Hart version? Will you be binge watching this weekend? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. And you can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
Brian is at Brian Truitt. You can bug him and ask how his vacation's going, although I really hope he's not on Twitter. But we'll see.
He did also very much like Sabrina. It's sad he can't be here today.
Oh, that's a bummer. Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of The Mothership this week, Shannon Greed and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, leave us a rating or a review. It helps people find the podcast, and we love the feedback. It is greatly appreciated. If Apple Podcasts aren't your thing, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you will find us. That will do it. Until next Friday, nerds out.
See ya.